Great to be here today to fellowship with you and with the Father in heaven and to worship Him as we have been doing. How we dress says a lot about who we are, whether we'd like to admit that or not. And in the Bible, there are instructions about how to dress. Usually we talk to women about this, but it's also true to men as well. Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9, he said that women who make a claim to godliness ought to adorn themselves in proper clothing, modestly and discreetly. And that would be another subject to define those words. Likewise, in 1 Peter chapter 3, he talks to Christian women who are seeking to win their husbands who are unbelievers. And he says to them, let not your adornment be external only, that is braiding hair, wearing gold jewelry, putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. And so he says to these women, and I suppose it applies to all women, the gentle and quiet spirit, along with a de-emphasis on the finery and emphasizing the jewelry and all that, have something to do with conveying a message that helps your husband listen to the gospel that you so much adore. In the book of Isaiah, in chapter 3, as Isaiah, that book is describing the wayward people of God, those going into captivity, describes certain women there as being led into captivity, formerly with all of their anklets and bracelets and headbands and sashes and chains and all of their tinkling things, makeup-y type things. You know, you have to read that for yourself. All of this would be taken away as they would be brought into captivity. There's a lot in the Bible about adornment, just to mention the things that we have said here. But I think we can see how how we dress has something to say about us. We need to dress for the occasion. There's another parable of Jesus often overlooked. It's very similar to another one that we do preach on. It's found in Matthew chapter 22 about a king who had a feast for his son who was getting married, and he had trouble getting people to come to his feast. And I guess back then, unusual. Maybe it caught the attention of the people to talk about a feast that was poorly attended. I mean, perhaps that's what it was. But it finally got everybody in there, and there was this one fellow that was cajoled into coming, and he came, and he didn't have his wedding clothes on. And he was confronted. It didn't go so well for him in that parable, if I remember. But Jesus said, many are called, and few are chosen. So we could go into great detail about what the Bible says about how we dress. And we're not going to do that this morning, not physically speaking, but we are going to take that into a spiritual direction because we do need to be concerned about how we are dressing spiritually. And interestingly enough, how we dress or adorn ourselves spiritually will have an effect on how we dress and how we live and how we act and all other kinds of life as well. So let's begin by talking about spiritual adornment and making the proper application. We kind of think about the church at Laodicea. We think about the fact that Jesus rebuked that church because they thought they were so rich and wealthy and had need of nothing. And then Jesus turns right around and says to them that you're not. You're blind and short-sighted and you're naked spiritually. They were rebuked for being naked spiritually when they had all the finest clothes that they could wear. Jesus is calling attention to the spiritual application for clothing. We need to be properly adorned on the inside. Sometimes when we think about spiritual adornment, we recognize the fact that our spiritual garment may be shocking to us. If we were to see ourselves the way that God could see us, James talks about looking at yourself in the mirror of God's Word. And that's what we need to do. Look at ourselves and see how we are truly dressed. But the point is this, that without Jesus as our spiritual garment, we are spiritually naked, without hope. And if we do adorn ourselves in the spiritual sense, without Jesus, our garments are like filthy rags, Isaiah 64, verse 6. We want to get dressed spiritually. How are you going to do that? Without Jesus, it's impossible. And Paul says that when we're baptized into Christ, we clothe ourselves with Christ. Galatians 3, 27. Before we're baptized, we're clothed in sin. How do I know that? Romans 3 says we've all sinned and we fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3, 23. If we're trying to dress ourselves by ourselves, then we are dressed in self-righteousness. But in Christ, we have grace. We have the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of His grace. In Jesus, by grace, we have been saved through faith. It's not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not as a result of works lest any man should boast. So in Christ, we can be spiritually adorned. What are we going to wear? What is going to be our garment to wear spiritually? It will be Jesus. You've heard of some people who have gone from rags to riches. And what we mean by that is that they maybe grew up in poverty, but now they are extremely wealthy. And we hasten to say that many of us today who consider ourselves not to be rich are actually very wealthy in the eyes of most of the world. But to go from rags to riches, it might have been because someone had an unusual athletic ability that could make them money on the basketball court or on the baseball diamond or something like that. That could happen. It might be that someone just by chance came along and hit it rich on the lottery or something like that, which is there's a greater chance of getting hit by lightning several times than that. But you get rich in some unexpected way. For others, it was that the fact that they had a work ethic and they started very small and they invested wisely and they worked really, really hard until they came from a state of poverty into a state of affluency by virtue of their hard work. We hear about going from rags to riches, from one extreme to the other. Materially speaking, I don't want to burst your bubble, but it may not necessarily be your future to be one who enjoys unparalleled prosperity. It may not be that just because you think in your mind that's what I want, that you'll necessarily have that. Some things are out of our control. But if you work hard, we still live in a land where you can do well. If you work hard, you can prosper. But the fact is that it may not be good for you. It may not be the best thing for you, for me, for us, to be materially wealthy. There may be other things that are more important, like James told the man of humble circumstance to rejoice in his high position. In other words, if you're poor materially, you can rejoice that you are so rich spiritually in Christ. And let the man who is rich rejoice in his ability to humble himself and recognize his spiritual need for Christ. But God has made it possible for every one of us to go from spiritual rags to spiritual riches in Christ. How do I know that? The verse we referred to a moment ago, in Galatians 3 and verse 27, he says, "For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." That word clothed means to get into. That is, to put on, as to wear a garment. And that's why, while some verses translate put on Christ, others may have clothed yourselves with Christ. Because it has the idea of a garment. It has the connotation, the mental picture of putting on a garment. So how can we wear Jesus as our spiritual garment? We have to put Him on. In a faith that is penitent, you put on Christ as a garment. And that is the key to spiritual victory. Now let me just mention a couple of steps along the way. First, In order to go to spiritual riches in Christ, we have to take off the old garments of sin. We know better than to put on clean clothes over the dirty clothes. Even I know the difference between that. And you come in from working in the yard, you're all hot and sweaty and stinky, and one of the first things that you want to do, and sometimes that you are asked to do, would be go take a shower. Someone might even say, Colleen would never say this, but you stink. She would never say that. But go take a shower. And when you get done taking a shower, you don't put your old clothes back on. If you could put them back on, you wouldn't want to put them back on. You want to put on the new garment. So the first thing you got to do, though, is you've got to take off the old garment of sin. Paul speaks about this analogy, this kind of a figure in Ephesians chapter 4. He says to Christians in Ephesus, he says, walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart, and they have become callous, and having given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, with reference to your former manner of life. You lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit. The Bible says to Christians, lay aside that old self. Now you do that as you're becoming a Christian, but it's a process that you continually keep up with as a Christian. You put the old self aside. You crucify the flesh. Colossians 3, beginning in verse 5, Paul says, therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience, and in them you also once walked when you were living in them. But now you also put them all aside: anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have laid aside the old self with its evil practices. He's writing to Christians and he's saying, you've laid that aside now. Leave it alone. The first thing you got to do to get properly dressed spiritually is lay aside the old self. Lay aside that old garment of sin. When we put on Christ, we have to wear him and him alone. Imagine the scene. A man asks the young lady to marry him. They've been dating for a while, and she agrees to marry him. So they go through that process and they get married. Their ceremony has gone on, and now they're in the reception line, and they're at the reception of their wedding, and here these people coming along congratulating them, hugging them, and all of this. And a man comes through the line, and he shakes the hand of the groom and says, nice to meet you. I'm your wife's husband. What? You say, what? Even in our messed up day of all kind of mixed up values, that would be something that would take you by surprise. Jesus is the bridegroom of his church. The church is the bride of Christ. And so because of that, it's not possible for us to just put on two garments. We can't just leave the old dirty garments of sin on and then put Christ over it. We got to lay aside the old garments of sin. Jesus demands our fidelity. He said in Matthew chapter 6, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, or God and wealth. In another place, in Matthew 12:30, he said, he who is not with me is against me. He who does not gather with me scatters. And so in Christ, you know, it's one garment or the other. You're not going to be living for sin and then living for Christ at the same time. You're not going to be living in both worlds. It's going from darkness to light, from the kingdom of Satan to God. And now you lay it aside in order to put on that new garment. Before we can clothe ourselves with Christ, we must lay aside the old self with its evil practices, genuinely repent, and turn to God. The second step, we've already alluded to, leave the old garments where they lie. Don't seek them. Don't put them on again. Don't long for them in your heart. The same reason why you don't put clean clothing over dirty clothing is the reason why you don't put dirty clothing over clean clothing. A Christian who goes back into the world is someone who has put on Christ, and then they try to wear the world along with that. It doesn't make sense to put the dirty clothes back on after you've got your clothes clean. And here's a clue. You don't go through life as a Christian rejoicing, "I'm a Christian, my sins have been forgiven, I put on Christ in baptism," and then you're walking through life with this bundle in your arm, or you're carrying a satchel with you, and somebody says, "What's that about?" "I'm carrying my old garments with me." And someone says, "Well, why do you do that?" "Because, you know, sometimes when I'm with my friends, it just feels more comfortable to put these things back on. It just feels more comfortable for me to have this around just in case I happen to need it." Well, guess what? You're going to be putting them on, because that's what Satan is going to make you do. A child of God who leaves his holy calling and seeks out the ways of the world, there's one word for that. There's more than one, but at least one. It's insanity. It's insanity. Spiritually speaking, it's nuts. To be cleansed of your sins through Christ's power, to put on Jesus Christ, and then continually want to go back into the ways of the world. Now, the prodigal son, when he left his father, eventually he should be thankful that God brought him to the point where he came to his senses and realized he needed to go back to his father. But in the meantime, he was out of his mind. He was out of his mind to ask for the inheritance and to take it and to spend it on riotous living. And now he came to his senses and wanted to return. Spiritually speaking, what we do is what we wear. You want to know what kind of garment you're wearing? You're supposed to be putting on Christ, right? But if you're living like the world, you're not wearing Christ. You're wearing what you're doing. In Psalm 109, in verses 18 and 19, the psalmist speaks of someone and says, "He clothed himself with cursing as with a garment." In other words, he put on cursing as his garment. Guess what? He's cursing. That's who he is. He's one who curses. He goes on to say, "It entered into his body like water, like oil into his bones. Let it be to him as a garment with which he covers himself, and for a belt that with which he constantly girds himself." He entered into cursing. This, in the Old Testament terminology, meant that he was disobedient to God and therefore deserved cursing. But he took on that lifestyle and he became one who cursed. And it was the blood that flowed through his veins was cursing. He became what he put on spiritually. To illustrate this for a moment, in Proverbs chapter 5, Solomon is told to drink water from his own cistern. Now, that sounds strange until you realize what he's talking about is be faithful to your wife. Ladies, before you go after a man who is not your husband, you need to picture yourself as putting on the filthiest garment you could possibly imagine, the stinkiest, filthiest garment, and put that on and wear that around. You wouldn't do that. And young men, in Proverbs 6, verse 23, Solomon said, "For the commandment is a lamp, and a teaching is light, and reproofs are discipline for the way of life, to keep you from the evil woman, from the smooth tongue of the adulteress. Do not desire her beauty in your eyes, nor let your heart be, nor let her capture you with her eyelids." Think about that for a moment. "For on account of a harlot, one is reduced to a loaf of bread. An adulteress hunts for precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Or can a man walk on hot coals and his feet not be scorched?" So, young man, if before you go after a woman who is not your wife, you need to go find yourself a bunch of hot coal. You know, the kind of charcoal that's not just gray, not just smoldering, but the kind that when the wind blows across it, it just glows with that red ember. You know, the really hot stuff. Just grab yourself a whole bunch of that and just hold it tight. And you'll be better off than if you go after a woman who's not your own. That's what Solomon is saying to his son. That has to do with the garments that we wear. To put a dirty garment over clean clothing is spiritually insane. To go back into the world, not smart. In Peter's writing, in 2 Peter chapter number 2, verse 20, Peter said, "For if, after they have escaped the corruption that is in the world, the defilements that are in the world by the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. For it would have been better for them never to have known the way of righteousness than after having known it to turn away from the holy commandment delivered to them. It has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to its own vomit, and a sow after washing returns to wallowing in the mire." Leave the garments that are polluted by sin. Leave them alone. Leave them behind. Can you imagine taking them up again and trying to put them on over your clean clothes? It's foolishness. We would never do that physically. So why would we even think about doing it spiritually? No bride prepares for a wedding day by putting on all that fine apparel, the white dress and the veil, and you know, I guess even before you do that, you do a lot of other things to your hair and makeup and all this to get all ready for that wedding, which takes from early morning till halfway through the afternoon. And get all ready then. Get all dressed then. You're all ready to walk out for the wedding. And just, well, I have 5 minutes now. And she goes outside, finds a big mud hole, and rolls around in it for a while. Does that make sense? No. There's a wedding coming. The new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven like a bride adorned for her husband. Jesus is our bridegroom. And the final wedding ceremony takes place when he comes again. Right now we're betrothed to him. We're married to him. But then we will be his forever. And our garment needs to be spotless in the blood of Jesus Christ. We can't go back into the world and roll in the mud. Step three then, put on the new garment and keep it fresh. Nothing quite as nice as putting on a fresh, clean set of clothing. We're so blessed in America to be able to take a shower when we want to. To have other clothing that we can change into when our clothes get dirty. But spiritually, we're cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And sometimes in the Bible, there's a poetic way of expressing that. I like what Revelation says about it. When they are asking the question, "These in white robes, who are they and from whence did they come?" And John receives the answer for that question, that these are those who have cleansed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. This is what Revelation 7:14 says. And he says, "For that reason, they are before the throne of God." For what reason? The reason that they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. "For that reason, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night. The one who sits on his throne, he will spread his tabernacle over them. They will neither hunger no more, neither will they thirst any more, nor will the sun beat down on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb in the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and will guide them to the springs of the water of life, and God will wipe every tear away from their eyes." Think about it. Victory by being cleansed in the blood of the Lamb. 1 Peter 3:21 says, "Baptism now saves you." What is baptism? It's being immersed in water. He says, "Baptism does now save you." How does it save us? Well, he says, not as a removal of dirt from the flesh. It's not a bath. But in baptism, we are appealing to God for a clear conscience. And appealing to God for a clear conscience is like saying, we want a white robe. We want our garment spiritually to be cleansed. And that's what happens when upon our faith and upon our repentance, we're baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. But what child gets dressed up for a special occasion and doesn't hear mom or dad sometimes say, "Now, keep yourself clean"? I don't know if you ever had that thing. I didn't dress up for special occasions much growing up. But on the few occasions when I did, I remember hearing those words. And I think they came with several veiled threats. You know, you better keep yourself clean. You better not go out there and, you know, and do what you normally do. And so you have to keep yourself clean. Now, how are we supposed to do that anyway? It has to do with that same relationship with Christ. How did we get clean in the first place? The blood of Jesus washes away our sins. How do we keep ourselves clean? By staying in that relationship where His blood can be enjoyed and our sins can be wiped away. So in 1 John 1, verse 7, the Bible says, "If we walk in the light, as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." The Bible talks about the blessing of being properly clothed. And I think Job, the patriarch, was one of those people who was properly clothed. He defended his integrity in Job 29 and verse 14. He said, "I put on righteousness and it clothed me. My justice was like a robe and a turban." Well, how do we get that spiritual clothing? Job recognized that he was clothed in righteousness. Well, our clothing comes through Jesus Christ and putting our faith and trust in Him. Romans 3, 21 and 22 says, "Now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ." We need to understand what that faith involves and what it entails, but it's by putting our trust and faith in Jesus that we are spiritually cleansed and clothed in righteousness. It's not a righteousness that we deserve. It's not a righteousness that we have earned. But it's a righteousness that He has imparted to us because of the cleansing power of His blood. Now we cooperate in putting on that garment. We obey His will. We trust in Him. We keep His word in our life. But that righteousness is still from Him. Remember what Isaiah said in Isaiah 61 and verse 10. He said, "I will rejoice greatly in the Lord. My soul will exult in my God, for He has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has wrapped me with a robe of righteousness." If Isaiah, the messianic prophet, could understand that even then, and we so much more now today because of the blessings we have in Christ, if he could understand then that his righteousness was really given to him by God, it doesn't mean that there's nothing we can do. It doesn't mean that we don't have to follow Jesus and obey his word. But even the best that we can do, our righteous garments are like filthy rags, Isaiah 64, verse 6. And so the righteousness that we have comes to us through Jesus. In Romans 6, Paul explains it this way. "Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness? But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that pattern or form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness." To put that in simple terms, we're all slaves to something. We're either slaves to God and to righteousness, or we are slaves to the devil, to sin, and receive death. If you're presently without Christ, if you're not clothed in Jesus, then there's coming a day when your nakedness will be embarrassing. Now, we think in physical terms, yes, that's embarrassing, but spiritually, on the day of judgment, we will stand before God, or before Christ in judgment, and it all will be, how are we dressed? Appropriately or inappropriately? If Jesus is with us, if He's our advocate to plead our case, if He is the one with whom we have been walking in a relationship with Him, there's no reason to be afraid. But there in Revelation chapter 16 and verse 15, in a parenthetical phrase, the writer says, "Behold, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake and keeps his clothes, so that he will not walk about naked and men will not see his shame. Blessed is a man who is awake and has his clothes clean. He's ready for the Lord to come. Without spot, without wrinkle, or any such thing, that's used over and over in the Bible. That's how it describes our life. It's not possible on the basis of our own goodness. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, the cleansing power of Jesus makes it so that we can be justified in the sight of the Lord when he comes again. So put off the old man. Put on the new man. And look for that day that when it comes. It may be this morning as we've thought about these thoughts, you've thought about from rags to riches. You know, it's also possible to go from riches back into rags by giving up on the Lord, by forsaking him. But I think about Jesus and I realize that this, Jesus is the one who went from riches to rags so that we can go from rags to riches. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9 says, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, for though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. What is he talking about here unless he's talking about spiritual adornment? Likewise, in Philippians chapter 2, we read about Christ, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, held on to, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, being made in the likeness of men, being found in the appearance as a man, he emptied himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. That's what Jesus did, so that we might be properly adorned. The only adornment that we can have that would be acceptable to God is if we put on Christ. Jesus is like dying on the cross and asking you and for me to just take him as our spiritual garment. Put him on and keep that garment spotless in his blood. If you have need to make your life right with God, either in becoming a Christian by being baptized into Christ, having your sins washed away, or in coming back to the Lord, we want to make that invitation available to you, the Lord's invitation, if you'll come to him while we stand and while we sing.